Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we do want to face the issues. Keep in mind, this program is dedicated to seeking the truth. When seeking the truth, we have one place to go, and that's the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus himself said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So when we seek answers, the best source to go is the Bible, the Word of God. Let me encourage you to read the Bible each day. Let me encourage you to hide the Word of God in your heart. The only way we have answers to the difficulties and the dilemmas and the walk of life is found in the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of Holy God. This is a radio call-in broadcast. You feel free to call in at any time, 401-1413, 401-1413. You can call during the course of the broadcast, ask your questions, join in the dialogue and or discussion and or debate, if you would like to couch it in that fashion. We want to find the truth. We want to seek the answers. We want to have wisdom as we do so. And certainly we cannot go to the media, the politicians, or society in general to find the answers to real questions. We're talking about theological questions, biblical questions, so-called political issues, social issues, and I don't know that there's been a time in my lifetime that we have more issues to face than today. And I believe that it's time we as Christians started facing the issues and searching the Scripture to find the answer. I am delighted to invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday at 9:30 for the morning Bible study, Sunday school hour, Sunday morning worship service at 10:45, the Sunday evening worship service at 7 o'clock, and then join us any Wednesday at 7 o'clock for the Bible study, sometimes Bible question and answers, very similar to what we do on the daily broadcast, a fellowship meal together, and a time of prayer and singing. I pray that you will join us even this Sunday to come and worship with us as the Word of God is proclaimed in truth without mixture and without error. Perhaps one of the greatest issues, one of the greatest questions from a theological, doctrinal, biblical standpoint, one of the greatest things that sought in the realm of prophecy from the average person, I've found down through the years, 90% of the time, when someone has a question on biblical prophecy, or a question on biblical truth, or a question about what people consider biblical enigmas, something that cannot be understood readily, the major question is regarding end times prophecy. And most, whether they are believers or non-believers, are all challenged and convicted and cautioned when we study the Scripture that tells us that we are, in fact, in the last days. We find the rapture of the church. Following the rapture of the church is 7 years of tribulation. During the 7 years of tribulation, there are 21 separate judgments that will fall on the world. We see the great battle of Armageddon and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his power, all of his victory, all of his glory. But the account of the mark of the beast, the study on the mark of the beast, is perhaps one of the most widely known prophecies in all of the Bible. Even people that have never opened the Bible are familiar with the phrase, the mark of the beast. And they can sense the eeriness, if you will, that accompanies the number 666. I want us to talk about that today. Many movies have been made that introduce the 666 into the script. In fact, the old movie, The Omen, The Exorcist, etc., etc. The old rock group called the Iron Maiden used the 666 in their designation. How do we understand the mark of the beast? What do we know about the scripture that talks about it? Where do you find the answer? Why, of course, it's in the scripture, the Word of God. Revelation chapter 13 is the text that deals with the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, there's not but 18 verses in the whole chapter, and certainly we do not have time in a brief broadcast like this to handle all 18 of those verses. I'd love to invite you at some point in time to pick up the telephone and call our office and ask for a copy of the full message on the mark of the beast, the 666. Be delighted to send it to you. There's a small fee, including your shipping charge. Be delighted to send that to you for your edification and your learning. But the last portion, about the last half, verses 11 through 18, would have to be read and basically understood for us to talk about this subject today. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening and you've had other thoughts, you've had other things that have been said from some pulpit or for some writer or some so-called theologian or the so-called scholar on the subject, be delighted to have you join in, ask your question, make your comment, and or let's see if we can compare notes for that which is correct biblically. You can call us at 401-1413. Reading from verses 11 and following in the Revelation text. By the way, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation. All of the book of the Revelation is about the apocalypsis, that is the unveiling, the showing forth, the revealing of the lovely, lifted, life-giving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the book of the Revelation is seeing Jesus as the central focal point of all of the universe and all of the world. So as we look at verses 11 through 18, the scripture says, "And I beheld," that means to look intently and see, "another." You see, another means, if you come back to the scripture, allos, one of like kind. Another beast, wild animal, if you will, monster, coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns. That's talking about his power and authority. It's political power, if you will. Two political spheres, political and spiritual. Like a lamb, that is, he looks quiet, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwelled therein to worship the first beast. Now the first beast, as you go back and study verses 1 through 10, is talking about the coming Antichrist. He is empowered by Satan. He is given information, knowledge, and wisdom from Satan. And he is the one that in his empowerment is literally raised from the dead by the false prophet that we see here that is opening up and being revealed to us in this text. Notice the earth and them which dwell therein, we're reading in verse 12, to worship the first beast, speaking to the Antichrist, his dominion, his domain, his position of rule, whose deadly wound was healed. You go back in the first three verses and you find where the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, will be slain. We don't know whether it's by a bullet or by a sword, but we do know that based on the scriptural text that is before us, that the false prophet, the religious spiritual leader of that day, will be able to raise him from the dead. Now that resurrection from the dead is not with divine power. It's not with the power of the Holy Spirit. It is with demonic satanic power that can emulate, can look like, can exactly duplicate what is seen visually to be Holy Spirit power, but it's not. And he doeth great wonders, we're talking about the false prophet, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast. This false prophet will be empowered to perform signs, miracles, and wonders, but it's not from God. May I just interject a little thought? We're living in a dangerous society where there are a lot of so-called pastors, preachers, teachers, prophets, etc., that claim to have the power to perform signs, miracles, and wonders. May I suggest that we're setting the stage that there will be a desensitization of society, that when a duplicate, replicated, authoritative sign, miracle, and wonder takes place by the demonic powers from Satan, the world will want to embrace it as believing that it's coming from God. The scripture says, and deceiveth them, in verse 14, that dwell on the earth dwellers, by the mean of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the power by the sword, by a sword, and did live, which had a wound by the sword and did live. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image. We're talking about the false prophet having power to give life to an image, the image of the beast, that image of the beast which should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Notice now, may I remind us, this is being done under the guise of religion. It's not being done under the guise of the political arena. It's not being done under the guise and the pretense that this is wrong and evil and wicked. It's being done under the guise and the pretense of a religious false leader, one that is demonically empowered, one that is the co-conspirator, if you will, along with the satanically, demonically empowered false person that comes on the scene known as the Antichrist, the man of sin that he's called in 2 Thessalonians, and causeth all of them, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads. Verse 17, we're reading from Revelation chapter 13, and that no man might buy or sell, save or except that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or what we like to call 666. Now, the mark of the beast, 666, I've subtitled my instructions on this subject, the hand or the head, question mark. What is the mark of the beast? I want us to think for a moment quickly on three things. When we think of the mark of the beast, first of all, it's a global pledge of allegiance. Secondly, it's a genuine proof of acceptance. And thirdly, it is a gruesome picture of arrogance. In verse 16 through 18, we say find it's a global pledge of allegiance. There's a categorical direction that is given here. The Antichrist is to be worshipped. That's a directive by the false prophet that will cause everybody globally to fall down and worship the Antichrist. I'll not take time, the airtime will not allow it, to give you all of the information that brings to the forefront the Antichrist, his power, his authority, to be raised from the dead with the false prophet. But there's coming on the scene, alongside the Antichrist, after the rapture of the church, after the church is snatched out, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. One beside him will be the false prophet. You see, just as in the Godhead, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in the unholy head, or in the unholy trilogy, we have God the leader, which is the Antichrist. We have the false prophet, which is the one that comes along with the Antichrist. So you have the unholy trinity. That is Satan, his superman, Satan's superman, the Antichrist, and Satan's false prophet, the religious leader. So we see the global pledge of allegiance, the categorical direction, is that everybody's got to accept that mark. It's crucial to realize the decision to take the mark of the beast involves some form of a pledge of allegiance to the Antichrist. It's ordered by the false prophet. It's a spiritual decision with an economic benefit, if you will. This pledge of allegiance means that they must accept the beast system of government and finance and of religion. It means that they must accept his program, his platform, and his plans for the world. May I remind us, it's no less than the New World Order on a global governance basis with the universal monetary system, the unified world religion. By the way, after the church is raptured out, the true church, all the fragments of all denominations will be drawn together for the great whore church, which is identified in Revelation chapter 17. But I find in the scripture that there's no evidence that people be going with their, there will be the police agents and the military agents and Homeland Security going out, handcuffing people, dragging them back in, forcing them to take some kind of burnished M-brand imprint on their foreheads or on their right hand. There's no indication of that whatsoever. And yet the Left Behind series has left the general public indelibly imprinted in their minds with that being the picture. It is simply not a biblical image. It is a categorical directive, and in that directive, everyone that wants to buy or sell or have food, clothing, and shelter is going to accept that because it's a religious system, but it will have a financial benefit. Not only the categorical direction, but notice the conspicuous display. Verse 16, the latter portion says to receive a mark, literally identification. It indicates ownership. It is a seal in the right hand or in the forehead. Now, we can take a great deal of time in analyzing Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus Christ seals 144,000. Virgin male evangelist to travel the globe preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Multiplied millions will be saved in that day. It will not be those that have already heard the gospel and refused. It will not be those that have been left behind that's lost. They've heard the gospel. They believe the devil's lie. They are blinded and they will not get saved. Don't you dare, ladies and gentlemen, think that I can wait until after the rapture and then somehow, some way, I can say yes to Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit, wooing and drawing unto himself, will no longer exist in the human body and in the world after the rapture of the church. What is this? It's a mark. What is that mark? Verse 18 says it's 666. What is 666? You study the scripture in what is called numerology, and you find that the number for God is 7. 777, if you will, is the absolute trilogy of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is the perfection of numbers in the scripture that refers to God. And the number 6 is the number for man. So the number 666, and we'll talk about it more in a moment, 666 simply means a man-centered, man in front, man behind, a man-centered universe, a man-centered mindset. It is the global indication of socialism and humanism. It is the ultimate humanism imprint on the hand or on the head of man. The method that will be used, again, some think that it's going to be a burnished imprint on the head or the hand. That is simply not the case. When the barcodes, for example, came out, it was thought that that could be the barcode. We have so much today in technology. Today we have print readers and palm readers and iris readers. May I remind us that the high probability is it'll be some type microchip, one that is microscopically small, that can be under the flesh of the hand, under the flesh of the forehead, and it will be that which will absolutely point out that you are an allegiance with the false prophet and the Antichrist and his program of that day. Today, we have that microchip available. Many counties, many states, many municipalities require that if you have an animal, that you take him into the vet and have that little microchip about the size of a grain of rice implanted in the fleshly part of the dog's neck or the cat's neck or in the ear. In fact, some states are now recommending, California being one, that when that baby is born in the hospital, that the mother allow the microchip to be embedded in the ear or in the neck, so that if your baby is stolen or abducted, that you can, by microchip, find that child, preserve that child's life, and redeem that child, rescue that child. And it's the same mindset, the same technology that I believe will be used. It's the mark, but it's also the method that I believe that will be used in the days of the Antichrist when the number 666 is utilized. It's a global pledge of allegiance. Today we have a society that if you're big, if you're well known, if you're on television, if you have published multiple books, if you have the Joel Osteen smile, then the mindset is, I'm going to follow you because what you say is right. There's coming a day that that man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene, and because he is big, bad, and in control, and his false prophet is doing signs, miracles, and wonders, everybody will want to identify and will pledge their allegiance to that man that's controlling the globe because they want to have that importance, they want to have that pledge of allegiance so that they'll be able to buy and sell and have recognition as following that man that is on top. Not only it's a global pledge of allegiance, it's also a genuine proof of acceptance. In Revelation the 17th verse in the 13th chapter, the scripture says, no man might buy or sell, save or except he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That is the 666. The Antichrist, the word anti means against. The crucial decision must be made. Those who submit, those who accept the mark of the beast, is a result of a personal, spiritual acceptance of the beast himself. For you see, the mindset will be, well, you know, I don't have a choice. I've got to accept the mark. If I don't accept the mark, I don't have any food. I don't have a home, a car, clothing, no medicine. My family can't be taken care of. You'll be put out on the street. What if the future medical services, and we're rapidly declining into the potential of this, would require you to have a microchip implanted that would require you to have some way that you're identified. All of your medical record could be in that chip. The smart chip, back in the late 90s, created by a company down in Tampa, Florida, called the Verichip, V-E-R-I, the Verichip Company. The microchip's been around now for many years. The microchip has been improved upon. The technology has been greatly streamlined. The size has been greatly reduced. That microchip will ultimately be in a card. Some call it the Social Security card today. The government is talking about some type of national identification card to prevent the refugees that are illegal coming into America. They will find that when they publish the cards, print the cards, they can be replicated, duplicated, imitated. There'll come a day shortly after that that the federal government will say the only way that we can do this is to not only have a card or a chip card, but also to have that chip implanted in the person. It will be something that will be so subtle and be presented as being wonderful for society that the majority of society will say, wonderful, sign me up, give me the chip. The Antichrist will have world control, universal authority, and all commerce will be under his leadership. May I remind us, the Obama administration today continues to put the United States of America under the thumb of the UN, which is a part and parcel of what will ultimately be the global governance that will be owned, operated, and controlled by the Antichrist. The mark is given to those who submit, those that accept the mark of the beast as a result of that spiritual decision, that religious decision. Not only to see the crucial decision, but the cautious decree there. The decree is found, and I'll not take time to turn to it, but in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 and 10, it says that if any man worships the beast or has his image or receives his mark in his forehead or in his hand, he shall drink of the wrath of God, that's the thumos, the white hot anger of God, and will be tormented in fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb of God for all of eternity. So the scripture saying, listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture saying there's a caution that needs to be understood here. In that day, and it's after the rapture of the church, it is during the early days of the tribulation where this man of sin, the Antichrist, through the leadership of his false prophet, will have those that will bow down and worship the Antichrist, and because they're willing to accept the Antichrist program, they will pledge an allegiance. And the proof of that allegiance and the genuine acceptance is the mark that is in the head or in the hand. But Jesus Christ says, you take the mark, you're doomed for eternity. You're damned for eternity. You'll spend eternity in that place called hell. Many so-called believers today are making choices and decisions that will lead them to accept ultimately the mark of the beast in that day. A saved person cannot do so. In that day, if a person is truly blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, he will starve to death before he'll take the mark. The chosen destiny is found in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, 10, and 11. And may I remind us again, the choice will be given. In that day, an individual will have to make a choice, food, clothing, and shelter, or obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the mark of the beast, the Antichrist. It's a global pledge of allegiance. It's a genuine proof of acceptance. And verses 13, chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, it's a gruesome picture of arrogance. A gruesome picture of arrogance. You see, the callous description, depiction that is displayed of the Antichrist in the fourth verse, who is like unto the beast? Taking the mark of the beast will not be some inadvertent act. It will cost you your very soul. People will know exactly what it means when they choose to accept it. Notice the people that worship Satan, the dragon, the satanic worship, and the beast or the Antichrist, and they join with the Antichrist in a course of railing and profanities toward the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as is found in the 13th chapter of Revelation, the first four verses. It's the world that will reject Jesus Christ, denying the Word of God, and they hate God. And may I remind us, if we think it's bad today, if we think it's difficult today, we need to understand that the day is coming that it will be far worse than it is today. I believe there's a caller waiting to be introduced and ask the question. What is your question, please? Hello?
6-8. When the Bible says, send me, I will go. Could that have been Jesus instead of Isaiah talking?
No, it is not. It is not Jesus. In the context, it's an impossibility. It is Isaiah himself. It is Isaiah himself when he realized his sinful condition, and then the coal from the altar touched his lips, and he was cleansed. And the question is asked, who will go for me? For me, for us, that is indicating the triunity of the Godhead. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And God says to him, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to say. He's going to preach the eternal gospel. And the question is asked then, will people listen? And God's going to tell him just a minuscule number, a tithe, a tenth, will listen to him. But no, it is talking about Isaiah. It's not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you for that inquiry. We're talking about, it's a gruesome picture of arrogance. And we find this Antichrist, this man of sin, that stands up and basically the world falls down and worships him. There's a cheering devotion to the Antichrist in verse 8 of chapter 13 of Revelation. These people are lost. They are not saved. They're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, but yet they're following, and the whole world will follow after him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize by simply saying, if you're lost when the rapture comes, you're without hope. May I remind us that we need to say yes to Jesus Christ today and not worry about being in the days of the tribulation, because we'll be raptured out. We'll not be here. We'll not have to worry about that 666, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist in total control. Thank you for listening today, and God bless you as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ as being salt and light in a decaying, darkened world.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality? Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian? What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.